I'm Sarah Nadler, award-winning author and founder of the B Movement, a group coaching program for small business owners like you who are looking for answers to life, love, and business. I spent 10 years as a traveling minister, seeing the world and meeting people from all walks of life, from the poorest streets of Mexico to the advertising world of Los Angeles. The B Movement podcast is just one of the ways I get to share with you all that I've learned on this journey of life. Thanks for being here, and if you like my content, please subscribe and check out my website at thebmovement.net. All right, and we are live.
All right.
Hey there.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Hey guys, my name is Sarah Nicole Nadler. I am a business consultant for entrepreneurs, and this is Ben Nadler.
Yeah.
Financial consultant extraordinaire. Full disclosure, Ben is my husband, so if you see us getting a little too friendly and COVID-ness rubbing off on each other, it's because we're, you know.
Yeah, we're around each other a lot.
Yeah, we're allowed to. Okay, so today we want to talk about traditional versus business owner retirement strategies. I think the retirement business model that you normally find doesn't really work for entrepreneurs. Right?
Yeah, not so much. I mean, there are some IRA type strategies that can work for people in certain circumstances. There are some other ways that you can do some of those traditional models, 401ks and whatnot, but they take a bit of work and they're not necessarily going to be very easy or the right strategy for a lot of people out there anyway.
So here's what you're running into, right? If you're an entrepreneur, you just started your business, you don't have a whole lot of cash flow to start out with, right? You're investing in learning strategies, you're investing in mentorship, you're investing in systems. Right. If you're a brick and mortar business, you're investing in an office space and equipment and everything else.
Utilities.
And retirement is probably not the top thing on your to-do list.
You're just trying to get survive.
Right. If you are, you know, and then let's say you've been around for a long time. Let's say you've been in business for 20 years and 2020 hits or 2008 hits and suddenly things start to go down. And again, right? Suddenly your retirement plan is on shaky ground.
Right.
So I think the problems you run into as an entrepreneur are that 99% of the education out there on this subject of retirement is directed towards 99% of the population who are not business owners.
right.
So we thought we would share some tips and the 5 strategies that you have as a business owner to really actually plan for your future. Now, neither of us are certified financial planners, so this is not financial advice to you. It's simply educational. It's meant for educational purposes only, so you're not allowed to sue us. Sorry. but we are going to give away some awesome tips here, and based off of our mutual experience, me working on the business end of helping entrepreneurs actually grow their business and put in systems, Ben from being financially awesome for people.
I'm financially awesome.
Financially awesome. That should be, we should get a little,
I'm going to get a name tag. Yeah.
Financially awesome. So, take it away, Ben. What is the first strategy you recommend for a business owner in terms of retirement planning?
I mean, the first one is pretty simple. It's sell to a corporation, you know, sell to a big corporation.
Hey, Google, would you like to buy my business?
As big as one you can find, you know, there's corporations out there, big and small, that are always looking to buy some type of company that kind of fits either their strategy, long-term, short-term, whatever, or fits some niche that they're looking to fill and, you know, kind of incorporate it within their larger umbrella of their corporation.
Yeah, so to plan for this, what you should be doing, first of all, is taking a look at who are the big wig names in your industry, right? If you're a health coach, I don't know, maybe you're going to look into Kaiser Permanente or, you know, one of these big corporations and see what you have to offer to something like that, right? Some big corporation. What part of your business would be valuable to them that you could eventually strategize now toward in the direction of selling out at some point? And that's really what your retirement plan would be, is to
put in systems, document what you do.
Right, a lot really, of documentation.
Yeah, a lot of documentation, a lot of systemizing and making it strategic so that it's very, very clear to someone who comes in, a third party that comes in to assess your business at some point, making it super clear and obvious why there's a value proposition in your business. So right. That would be strategy number one.
Absolutely, yeah. It'll make it more valuable too if you really have everything just nailed down exactly. Absolutely. Step by step as perfect as you can, then somebody can look at it like you were saying and just go, oh, yep, that's exactly what we were looking for. This works, blah, 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 like that. And then they'll just run with it.
Yeah, totally. So then the second strategy is selling to a private buyer. This is obviously very similar. The only difference here is you're looking for some actual individual to sell your business to. This might be a new graduate. Like if you're a financial advisor or a lawyer, you find someone who just came out of school and wants to start their own business, but isn't looking to start from scratch, right? And so obviously the value proposition there is, hey, I've already got this working machine. Why don't you buy me out? There's pros and cons to this one. I think right. The biggest con is the fact that normally a new graduate or really anyone in that situation doesn't have the capital to just drop a mill on you, right?
Right.
Unlike the big corporation.
You're going to be and supporting so, them.
Yeah, you're probably going to be going into a long-term financial contract with them that's going to look more like, hey, I'll turn this business over to you, and as the business produces income, you will pay me a certain portion of it. So it's nice in the fact that if you've done your homework and you've done your job to build a business, all they have to do is just step into your shoes and run it the right way, and you'll get paid, right? And there's also room in that strategy for increasing income over time. Like maybe you're going to get a percentage of the profits, which means unlike the traditional retirement model where you have a concern of running out of money someday, this retirement strategy would mean that you have the potential of increasing your income throughout retirement, which I don't know about you, but that sounds really good. I wouldn't mind living in Tahiti.
Tahiti it is.
And the other con to this one, I will say, is transitions of this nature usually take between 18 to 24 months. So, you know, if you find a buyer today and they buy you out, usually you don't just walk out the door the next day.
This isn't a 3-week type of
this
sale.
Isn't, you know, 2 weeks to find your replacement kind of thing. Unlike an employee, you can't just retire the next day. You need usually 2 years of working together to kind of shift over the branding and shift over the leadership and the management of your business to this new person.
Right.
All right. Enough with that one. Take the mic away from me, Ben. Yeah, what's strategy number three?
Well, the next one is to bring on a partner.
Oh, right.
Yeah, absolutely. Just have somebody that's, you're going to kind of mentor them, teach them all that you know, and you're also kind of grooming them into eventually purchasing the business from you.
Yeah, so it's similar to number two, except that in this case, you're going to mentor them and you're going to partner with that person at first, possibly for a decade. I mean, I've seen people who have long-term partners who eventually buy them out. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest advantage to this one, correct me if I'm wrong, is the fact that this is really, if you are, you know, concerned about the way your clients or the way your patients will be treated, right? Yeah, I think one of the biggest things I hear from business owners that they're afraid of when it comes to selling to corporation is that change of company culture and the change of how their customer service goes. So if you have any concerns about that, this really is probably a great retirement strategy for you to look into, is bringing on a partner and really finding someone who's a good culture fit for your business, who you get along with well enough that you can actually mentor them and get them to treat your clients or patients the way you would.
Right.
And treat your employees the way you would. Let's be totally honest.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And it's a really good way because it's not an overnight type of sale. You're really getting to feel that person out and you can really see how they're going to interact with your clients, how they're going to interact with your staff and all of that, and really see if it is the right fit. And there's not necessarily a commitment to it. I mean, depending on how you write contracts and what you're going for, I guess there could be, but if you were smart about it, you know, it would be a feeling out period for however long you decide. And then, you know, if it doesn't work out, you guys can part ways and you can reevaluate doing it again. But yeah, like you were saying, it's a really great way to keep your you know, you keep your reputation with your clients that you had, that you worked really hard to build up. Mm-hmm. You want to keep those people in good favor to some degree or whatnot. And this is a great way to do that.
Yeah. I think the cons to this one are, first of all, you have to have built your business up to a point where it can afford a partner.
Sure.
Usually a partner is not like hiring an employee, right?
No, it's a little bit different.
It doesn't start at top 10 an hour.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit more to it.
Yeah, there's a little bit more to that. Usually they want a certain percentage of the profits or something like that if they're going to be a true partner, business partner. Also, again, there's probably some mentorship in there. So if you're not the type of person who enjoys teaching someone else how to do what you do, this is not the strategy for you. And again, there is that long-term benefit, but also that long-term risk, where oftentimes they're financing the sale, they're financing buying you out with the money your business is making.
Right,
so if you don't do your part and teach them how to run that business, when you step away and the business stops making money, that was your retirement plan. So there is a strategy there that you're going to want to be really solid in the documentation of your procedures, of, you know, job description lists are drawn up and everybody kind of knows what they're doing, so that when you step away, either gradually or more rapidly,
right,
your business partner actually succeeds in business. Yeah. Good. So strategy number four is retaining ownership and just going ahead and hiring a CEO,
right,
building a team, right? Or if you're an online business, automate that shit. You know, like, yeah, let's create some passive income. The great thing about this strategy is you retain full ownership of the business. So, you know, as long as you've done your job well, you've really built a good company culture, and you have a strong CEO who knows how to run the business and has a, you know, I would not step away without probably 1 to 2 years of seeing that CEO,
yeah,
person,
absolutely,
manage that business and having you slowly backing out, right?
Right.
So, again, this is a long-term strategy, but the advantage there is, again, if your business is getting 10% growth year after year after year, your income over retirement is going to go up, not down.
Yeah, exactly. With doing a little bit of less work and mm-hmm. being able to do some of the other things that you wanted to do. Like
a lot of the other things. I think it's really, yeah, it's true. It's a semi-retirement. If you retain full ownership, there'll always be things you still have to do. But we're talking about the difference between 80 hours a week and, like, you know, right, a couple hours a quarter.
Yeah.
And the other right. thing is, too, some of us, like for myself, speaking for myself, I am a business consultant because this is my passion. This is what I love to do. And this is what I've dreamt of
right.
doing
You're never
years
give it
before.
Up.
Yeah. Ben's like, ugh. He's like, would you please retire someday? I'm never going to retire.
No,
I know he's laughing, but it's
don't
true.
It. No, it's the people, the unhappy ones are the ones. Well, not totally, but you know,
no.
it definitely, people that are working later in life or at least having hobbies or whatever it is, they definitely tend to
A statistic that I don't remember what the number is now. I'm going to, you know, show off my lack of aptitude in here. But there was a statistic I read about the number of people who still have a job or still have like a passionate hobby of some
right.
kind that produces something in their retirement. They actually live longer.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, if you're one of those people who loves your job and you do it every day because it's your passion, there's no reason to sell that or give it away or, you know,
yeah.
turn it over to a partner. If you want to retain ownership and you can still come in and do a couple hours a week. I have a couple clients who are nearing retirement age, and one of them told me the other day, he's like, yeah, my job, my plan is to do dentistry till I drop. And I was like, oh, okay. That's one retirement plan.
Committed.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
I feel like we've lost something in this generation.
As long as he doesn't drop on the patient, then we're good.
Terrible, Ben. Can you believe I'm married to this guy? All right, Ben, let's give them the last strategy before they all disappear.
Right. So the last one is the traditional way, you know, having one of the Roth IRAs or a certain type of IRA.
Maybe
or
have a pension.
Pension,
yeah.
401k. Those are definitely ways that you can invest. They may, or like we said at the very beginning, they may or may not work in your situation, or you may have to do a bit of digging to be able to make them work. But along with that, you know, my saying is, and anybody that's, you know, worth a grain of salt is going to tell you not to put all of your money in one spot. So you know, you wouldn't have all of your money just in a 401k or just in a pension, but you'd also have maybe some other stocks, have some money in some precious metals, have
real estate,
yeah. Have a permanent insurance policy. I know and a lot of people.
And also sell your business.
Yeah, also sell your business. You know, there's a number of different things that you can do that can help you. You know, if one or two of the areas lose money temporarily, these other ways will be able to help you keep afloat during those times. So there's now, lots of different ways.
You mentioned life insurance. Aren't there also like annuities and other ways? Because one of the biggest problems with the traditional, going back to pros and cons, the traditional retirement model, one of the biggest problems with it is you run the risk of running out of money at the worst possible moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is one of the advantages of the earlier four strategies we talked about, which are, you know, retaining ownership of your business or selling your business in such a way that you have continuous income coming in. Sure. And having some other kind of income generating strategy attached to the more traditional right. retirement
well,
model.
I mean, really one of the most interesting things about permanent insurance, funnily enough, is that in addition to being insurance for you, obviously, it can be a buffer against the way, you know, if the stock market takes a dive for a certain period of time, there's ways to kind of mitigate against that so that maybe if your stocks that you own or your 401k or Roth IRA or whatever it is takes like a 20% hit that year.
Yeah, like 2008.
Yeah, that same year, if you had the proper permanent insurance policy, you would actually maybe have a floor of only, or not only, but a floor of gaining 0.75% or 1% or something. So you'd actually make a tiny fraction of money in that same year where you lost who knows how much in the stock market. Now, conversely, there's usually a ceiling. You're only going to make a certain amount, maybe like 15% or 18%, and the stock market that year could do really well. But if you're mitigating against losses, you're going to have to doubly make up just to break even against some of the other stuff. So it's another strategy. It's, again, none of these things are 100% for everybody.
Right.
You know, each person has to evaluate what's going to work for them. But it is definitely another strategy that you can use.
Yeah, and I think asset protection should be a part of your retirement strategy, no matter whether you're a business owner or not, right? Like, we own this home,
right.
And insuring it against fire, insuring it against loss, yeah, insuring it against
standard procedure,
trying to climb all over the walls is part of your retirement plan, right? So
yeah.
That's a smart move.
Right.
Anyway, thank you for coming on the show
Absolutely.
Today, Ben.
Thank
I hope
you for
this was
me.
Helpful for everybody.
Yeah.
How can people find you online if they want to ask you some questions about
money?
Sure.
Well, they can just go to financialgripjourney.com and find me there.
All right, cool. Yeah. Thank you, honey.
Yeah.
Bye, guys. Thanks
Bye.
For coming in.
See you later.